is about Jesus, it's very much about you. What is it in you that's stopping you from being fruitful? What is it that in you that is stopping you from talking to him about Jesus and stuff like that? So I think it's very helpful. It's probing. Now on the Sundays, I will say, you know, start on behalf of the other elders too. We kind of will use what's in the book, but we also felt it was good to ask God if he's got something specific for us here and now. And that's what I'm going to be delivering this morning. Most of what I say is on the passage, feeding of 5,000. But I'm going to incorporate in that the feeding of the 4,000 and look at how God meets different people in different ways. And then at the end, very quickly, we'll just go through quickly through what's in the book. And then after that, and at the end, just kind of concentrate a bit on the last bit of the book, which is about compassion. But you won't notice in the book there, if you've got your book today and you remembered it, well done, there is a page that says sermon notes. So if you want to scribble anything down, then find that bit in your book and you'll be able to make any notes that you want to think, stuff you want to remember, stuff that you feel God has said to you. So, love comes alongside. That's our second talk. And what we're going to look at is how Jesus comes alongside. And we're going to look at the 5,000, but we're also, I felt for us, we needed to look at the 4,000 and have a look at the differences in those two accounts. Because it was not a mistake, you know, that there's a feeding of the 5,000 and a feeding of the 4,000. I mean, look at it logically. In Mark, we've got the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 6. And then in Mark, we've got the feeding of the 4,000 in chapter 8. Not very far apart, are they? It's not like he's probably forgotten. There's only two chapters before. And then with 4,000, this is even closer. In Mark, we're told the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 14. And then in chapter 15, we're told about the feeding of the 4,000. And there are lots and lots of reasons why these two accounts will be separate occasions. And many Bible scholars have looked at these differences. I think probably Matthew and Mark would have wanted to do a competent job. And I don't think they would have repeated this, especially when there are so many notable differences. So what I want to do is, with your little sheet that says feeding 5,000 and 4,000, what is the difference? There we've got 1 to 7, and there are more differences in this as well, of differences that are quite vital in these two accounts. And what we're going to do is, I'm going to go through them, but after each point, I'm going to draw out of it what we together can learn from this. So, a first of all, I'm going to read both passages, and then we will look at the differences and think through what on earth that means. What does that tell us about Jesus and how he came alongside people? So, on your other sheet where you've got the two passages, I thought I'd give you the two passages because it's nice and easy. You've got them right in front of you. So then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages." Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus told them to make all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. And then, in Matthew, this is the 4,000. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate, 4,000 men, besides women and children. So, there have the 2 accounts, and you'll be able to look back at them. But let's take number 1 on the feeding of the 5,000 and 4,000. This is point 1. Jesus uses the phrase, it may not be in your translation, but originally he uses the phrase, the hour is already late, or that phrase is used. That is a Jewish phrase that refers to the time of the temple evening offering and to the time of saying the evening Shema. That's in Deuteronomy 6:4, as you see, which was said at evening and morning, when you lie down and when you rise up. So these people were being spoken to as Jews. With the 4,000, says they glorified the God of Israel, not their God. They saw these miracles and stuff like that, and they were glorifying the God of Israel, which kind of lets us know that these people were Gentiles, and that they were not glorifying their own pagan gods for what was going on. They glorified the God of Israel. And you also see that in the feeding of the 5,000, did you see that when Jesus arrived, what did you see? Verse 34. What did you see? Feeding of the 5,000, the first one. Yeah, but he saw a large crowd, okay? As he arrived in the boat. Why were they there already? What have we always been told, there? What did the people do who noticed they were going? They ran ahead of them. So it can't be that far if they got there before him, can it? It was a bit remote, but not outside of someone being able to rush there quickly to get to where Jesus was going. And so, obviously, you know, he saw the crowd when they were landing. In the 4,000, we're told right at the beginning of the passage that Jesus sat on where? On the mountain. He already got up onto a mountain. All right, he's not coming along the coast, along in the water, seeing the crowd. He's up in the mountain, and they come to him. And then there are all these healings and stuff, which you don't get mentioned in the 5,000. What can we get from that then? What can we get? The other thing is, but he says they've been with him 3 days. That's not in the 5,000. It's a bit like a festival, this, isn't it? They've been there 3 days. So what can we get? So point one. Jesus wants to get alongside people at any stage of their experience and spiritual journey. whether they were Jews or whether they were Gentiles, Jesus wanted to get alongside them. Any people at any stage of their understanding, their spiritual understanding. So point two, look back at the feeding of 5,000 and 4,000. In the 5,000, it says, go into the villages and buy. This is the thing that the disciples are saying. Have a look at that in verse 36. Go into the villages and buy, they're told, they say. Verse 36, go out and send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages, verse 36, and buy themselves something to eat. So it must have been possible to get to those places. And we know that they ran there quickly and got there ahead of Jesus anyway. So that's another indication. But then in the 4,000, what is Jesus concerned about for the people? Why does he want them to feed them that time? They've been there how many days? 3 days. What is he worried will happen to them if he says they're going to faint? He's saying, I don't want to send them off. I don't want that responsibility because they might faint. And we think if they've been there 3 days, you know, if they had been somewhere they could have got some supplies from, they probably would have. Fair enough? What's the point about that then? Jesus would get alongside people in any place, whether that was inconvenient or not. Any place, he would get alongside people at any stage of their spiritual understanding. He would get alongside them in any place they were. If that meant being at a well in the middle of the day with an outcast, Jesus would be there to get alongside her. If that meant being a guest of a sinner and have all the holy people gossip about you, Jesus would be there. So what about the next point? Number three. In the 5,000, now this is where it gets a little bit complicated, but really the complications are not that relevant. Okay? People know that there are numbers in the Bible that are significant. You know, some people get really hung up on it, and it's their thing, their way of studying. And in 5,000, we use the numbers 5 loaves and 5,000 men refers to the Pentateuch, the 5 books, the first 5 books of the Bible. And the use of the number 12 baskets refers to the 12 tribes of Israel. So there's all indications these were Jewish people. In the 4,000, there are 7 loaves and 7 baskets. Which is kind of the number in the Bible for completion and perfection when both Jews and Gentiles will be fed by him. And there's the use of 4,000 men, which the Bible scholars tell us is probably an indication of north, south, east and west. They're from everywhere, these people. There's no limit to who Jesus is reaching out to. So there's evidence there. But actually, these numbers are not that important. At any point in either of these accounts, does Jesus explain the spiritual significance of what he's doing? Does he say, I'm now using 7 loaves because there is, of course, the point is, of course, there is spiritual significance whenever Jesus spoke or acted. And the obsessive theologians or the religious people present might have got it, at least afterwards when they were comparing the two accounts and the two events. But Jesus didn't speak about it. His purpose was to get alongside people in ordinary ways. He didn't burden them with all this other stuff. He was getting alongside them in ordinary ways. He loved them and cared for them. I think it's beautiful that in verse 32, he was worried that they would faint on the way home. That is beautiful. That's where his concerns were, not whether they knew why he was using the number of things he was using. So, at any stage of the spiritual understanding, he'll come alongside. In any place, he'll come alongside. In ordinary ways, he'll come alongside. And then look at point four. 5,000. Two small fish per user. And in John, the way it's put in John 6:9, he uses the Greek word opsarion for fish. This word refers to the salted and dried small fish from the factory at Magdala, which the boy had probably been given by his mother. Magdala had a thriving port and processed a considerable tonnage of opsarion caught by the Sea of Galilee. Like most ports, there was a high incidence of immorality, which may fill in the background of the incident of casting out the seven demons from the prostitute Mary of Magdala. Again, evidence of the place. This is, you know, they must have been near to that place. So these are Jewish people. But in the 4,000, they just say little fish. And Matthew and Mark both use the Greek word ichthus, which is the standard word for fish. So the fish sources were different. They were from different areas. And remember, in this culture, at this time, it wasn't like everyone could go to a supermarket and, you know, everyone was eating stuff from the same destination all over the country. You know, oh, my strawberries are from there too, and I live in Leeds. And, you know, this was, you got stuff from where you were near. So what's the point of that for us? Jesus used the resources they had and were familiar with. He worked in partnership with them. Now, could Jesus have magicked it out of the sky, all the food? Did it with manna? But he chose to use what they had and show them how he could bless what they had. He worked in partnership with them. We had someone I've got to know through the Golden Family of Churches, a guy called Matt Knight, and he leads the church in Micklefield, and they are very the streets ahead of us in community, and they've got a real community thing going on with the people there. And we invited him to an elders meeting because we thought it would be good to hear his experience and get some advice. And one of the things he said is, don't go out and do things to people. Do things with them. Nobody likes a do-gooder who thinks you can sort out all their problems and you know, do things the right way, and because our way is the best way, you know, if only you listen to us, everything will be all right. Nobody wants that. You know? Matt was saying, if there's someone who knows how to mend a car, go and let them teach you. Because that's where good relationship comes from. It doesn't come one. Good relations are never one-sided, are they? If we go out and do, it will never be a good relationship. They've got to feel validated, like they've got something to offer, because God has made them in his image too. So, we don't do it to them. Jesus came in partnership with them. And then point five. In the 5,000 feeding, there's much grass. John and Mark use the Greek word chortos, which means herbage, grass, or hay, and Mark emphasizes it by adding green grass. Then in the 4,000, it says they sat on the ground, and there's no mention of grass. And again, so scholars are saying this was probably in a not so heavily cultivated area. This was probably far more remote. And they were on a mountain, weren't they? You know, we know it gets dustier. We know it's not the same sort of greenage there. So what can we learn about that? Jesus took responsibility for them, didn't he? The disciples didn't want to. Jesus took responsibility for them and their needs. And then he sat them down, and they did it. What does it speak of? If you say to someone, sit down, and they do it, what does it indicate? Authority, trust.
Obedience.
Yeah. Authority is the overall word. It indicates they were taking his authority. He got alongside people. Yes, he used what they had. And he got alongside them. He didn't try and do stuff to them. But he also got alongside them with authority. And we need that Holy Spirit authority when we get alongside the people. Without that, there will be no authority in anything we do. And there, it will witness to their spirits that there is a different authority that we bring. But it's not an authority that just, you know, tries to come over as superior. It's an authority that comes from the Holy Spirit. And then point six, which says, the 5,000, he blessed, verse 40. Jesus said the hamotzi, which in Jewish custom includes all the food that is about to be eaten. So it was a blessing. And the blessing goes, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth hamotzi, bread from the earth. So if he's given a Jewish blessing on the food, what can we assume? That they were Jewish. With the 4,000, he doesn't, you see, with that first one, it's let me find first, it's one continuous action. It's verse 40. So they sat in groups of hundreds and fifties, and then on to 41, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, okay, so he takes them, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. So he's offering them up to heaven, and then he's breaking them. In the 4,000, it says, having blessed them, then he breaks the bread and the fish. He doesn't do it at the same time. And as it points out in the notes here, you know, Jesus blessed the loaves and fish separately in accordance with the pagan custom of blessing separately each type of food to be eaten. So that was very different, that approach. And maybe you think, well, would have done them good to have a good Jewish blessing. It would have done them good to do it the right way. But what can we get from that? When Jesus got alongside people, he did so with respect for their history and culture up to that point. It's not compromise to respect what some people believe and to try to understand why they believe it. That is not compromise. That is love. That's not the same as believing what they believe and embracing it for yourself. It's about understanding where they've been, how they've got to where they are, what their understanding is of God, and meeting them at that place with respect. Rather than going on and say, you've got it wrong. All these years of your life. Point seven. Last one. With the 5,000, the baskets that were collected in verse 43, the Greek word there that is used is koptenos, which refers to a small shoulder basket used specifically by Jews to carry their food and bedding when travelling. So they're like little rucksacks, that's how I like to think of it. They're like little rucksacks, you know, got their bedding and their food. Whereas the 4,000, the baskets that they collected the stuff in, is the Greek word spouris, which means a hamper, so it's much bigger. Paul was lowered in one of those in Damascus, down the walls. He wouldn't have been very good in a rucksack, would he? Well, he'd be cramped. So this is, again, it's a different situation and a different place. So what's the point of this? Jesus, thinking about how 12 basketfuls and 7 basketfuls were collected together, okay? Jesus met people's needs and got alongside them with more than enough for them. More than enough, and with faith and with great expectation that his Father would do what was necessary. And I do wonder, actually, I was thinking about this, this is just me thinking, you know, no biblical scholar said this. You've got the 12 rucksacky kind of baskets, and he got the seven big baskets. I wonder if they would collect about the same. You've got six, seven big ones, 12 smaller ones. I wonder if it was about the same. And I thought, if that was the case, that is so cool. Because Jesus is, you know, Jesus is providing salvation for the Jews and the Gentiles in equal measure, being more than enough for both. More than enough for the people who have for years and years studied the scripture, and more than enough for the people who don't even know how to open the Bible. He's more than enough. And I'm not actually going to go through the whole parenthesis thing now. I'm just going to ask you to, if you've got your book, to look at the last bit of Sunday, because you can go through this yourself. On the last page, which is page 36,
which week?
Sunday of today. It's week two.
Yes,
week
right,
two. Okay. Have a look. Yeah, page 36. If you go to page 36, yes, you can't go wrong.
Got it.
Okay. And it's just the last bit, compassion. Okay. Obviously, the rest of it is going to centre on the feeding of 5,000, because that's what, you know, they've done in this. And mine, what I've said is slightly different. But do you remember? This is how old I am. Do you remember years and decades ago? In fact, there used to be in a newspaper. I can't remember which one. Those Love Is cartoons, okay, with a man and a woman, and there was a little heart, and it said Love Is, and then it was a different thing each time, often very sickly, but when I was about 12 it was wonderful. So Love Is, well, this is kind of compassion is at the end here. You know, this is what compassion does. This is what compassion is. It moves towards others. It accepts responsibility for others. It gives no excuses like the disciples. It places what we have in Jesus' hands. It draws on Christ's resources. It reaches out to the point of felt need. And it demonstrates love coming alongside. And so just in conclusion, I want to just look at, literally just for a couple of sentences, on the disciples. It gives no excuses. The disciples had different excuses on different occasions. With the feeding of the 5,000, Mark 6:37, if you want to have a look, they were saying, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? It was a cost, wasn't it? This isn't sensible, Jesus. That's a lot of money. What, are we going to do that much, give them that much? So they had the excuse of, it's going to cost us too much. And then the second one, have a look at the, lastly, at the second passage in Matthew, and this time it's verse 33. His disciples answered, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? Which again tells you a bit more remote, otherwise they would have been able to go into the towns, local towns, wouldn't they, like they said about the other people. So they're saying, look at this place. They were saying, it's impossible, it's too daunting. And you know, sometimes things might seem like they're going to cost us too much. And sometimes things might seem like they're going to cost us too much in faith. Was about it all being too much, either for money or for faith. And I'll just leave you with this. Each time Jesus overrides the disciples' excuses, will we let him override ours?
Could I just ask you to explain
something?
Yeah. Which came first, the 4,000 or the 5,000?
Chronologically, as it's recorded,
it doesn't matter. One said done what?
Yeah.
And another one came up. Well, did they not have the trust?
Yeah. This bit, it has made me laugh. Because when you read it in the, you know, let's just have a very sort of quick look at that second bit. In the second one, Jesus has to do the same thing, doesn't he? He says, he has to say them, where is it? How many loaves do you have?
He says, what can I do to understand
this? Okay, let's do it all again. But it was with different people, for a different, for the same purpose.
But the disciples could see the need for their culture, for their for the Jews.
Yeah.
If you read it, Jesus is the one who identifies the need for the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the difference. Yeah. Often we can see the need for people that we automatically relate to.
Yeah.
But sometimes it takes Jesus pointing out the need for people that we might not naturally relate to.
Yeah. And the Holy Spirit to let us know what that is. We mustn't think, I think I know how to help this person. God may say something completely different.